Miss Natalie. Now, there's a group that was here before us that has laid the groundwork. And after I'm long gone, there'll be somebody else. The main thing is to just make sure that you're transparent, be truthful. And, you know, and one of the things I love about our church, I love about our pastor, is his transparency. And the reason why I feel like I still need to preach, and I'll, like I said, I'll be mindful of your time. But Christian and I had a wing dilly of a fight last night. Let's be completely honest with you. That's how it happens on Saturday nights, especially when we're going to be preached Sunday morning. But that just tells me that Satan's trying to mess things up, you know? And we're good, but you know, that just tells me that's just how Satan works. He tries to destroy things. And as far as these youth and these teenagers and young ones, we've got some great parents and grandparents. It's not just me standing up here. We've got a great help here. Miss Julie can tell you, oftentimes, there's been moments where it's just you and that has to get it all together. That's not the case here. And I'm grateful for that. And I cannot show my appreciation enough for y'all. And with our, I had a teenager yesterday, and I won't embarrass him, but yesterday said, you think one Saturday night we can just get together at the church and sing and maybe do a devotional or maybe a sermon or something, but just get together and sing? I'll tell you, when I was in high school, getting together at church on Saturday night did not cross my mind. We got some great youth, and I'm grateful for that. And so when one of them says, hey, can we get together on Saturday night and sing? Absolutely. We're going to make that happen. Yes. So I'm grateful for the parents and the grandparents and that bring them. And if y'all didn't know, Mason and Chloe are twins. We've known them for a long time. And they had to convince me they were twins when they were younger. And still don't look like twins. But if I had to title it, I'm not much on titling sermons, but it'll be going too far, staying too long, and coming back too late. I'm not talking about your in-laws. Sometimes they travel too far, they stay way too long, then they head back home too late. That's not what we're talking about. But there is a number of individuals that's recorded in scriptures that kind of fit into this category. Samson, for one of them, a powerful force. But in Judges 13 through 16, he went too far. And then with Ahab and Jezebel, they went too far in killing Naboth in 1 Kings 21. And then in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, y'all know the story of David and Bathsheba. They went too far, and that resulted in the death of Uriah. So I'm going to read Genesis 13. I'm going to share a few points with you, and we'll go get some either. Well, don't have to worry about Mexican food. We got enough food downstairs, so y'all good. All right. So Genesis 13. I am going to actually 18 verses. We're going to read the whole chapter. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. So that they could not dwell together, there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then into the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and then separated themselves the one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot which separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day, thank you for the opportunity to share your word, dear Lord God. I am grateful for what you have done in my life. I'm grateful for this church and what it means to me and my family, dear Lord. I just ask that you just be with me while I share this word. Just be calm my mind and clear my head, dear Lord God, that I am focused on what needs to be said. Ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so in verse 4, and I'll read that, it says, Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, if you flip back a couple pages, and we won't have to go there, but in chapter 12, verse 8, there is, it's mentioned where Abram built this altar. So now this is where he is at. And in Hebrew, Bethel means the house of God. And so they were at this altar at this point. So it is a pivotal point in Abram and Lot. Lot had, he was still kind of good at this point. He hadn't kind of swayed off yet. But he had a choice he's going to have to make. But he made the wrong decision. He walked away from God's altar. He walked away from the house of God. But can I dare say that America is moving too far away from God's altar? We have drugs that are being legalized. We have alcohol sales on Sunday. Now, there's at one point where you can go to the restaurant and the bar section was shut down. You could go to the gas station and the alcohol cooler was, lights were off. It weren't turned on. Now it's just like buying a Coke. It's just there. Then we got gay marriage and relationships are the norm nowadays. In middle schools, high school, college, even on our television. You got transgenders up trying in schools, operating different sports, going to different restrooms. Just where we are in America is not where we once were. God didn't move. God has always been the same. Now there's language, even nudity, just on regular television. You only have to go to the cable channels. It's just rampant. Does that sound like a Christian nation? Absolutely not. We are not where we once were. But I can also say our homes are moving too far away from God's altar. And I am guilty that I do not pray in my house like I should. I'm not the prayer example in my home like I ought to be. But how is your family prayer life? And how is your personal prayer life? We have heard this morning the power that God has when you pray. Now, God can still do things without our prayer. No, our prayer is not the switch to say, okay, I'm going to do this. But it is us coming to an almighty God saying we are in need. And he's intercedes in that, on our behalf on that. So how is your prayer life, personally and as a family? Do y'all pray together? How's your Bible reading? Also not where I need to be on that. But I think we all kind of may struggle with that at times. But oftentimes, we will see cars parked at different places in the middle of the week, and their Bible's up on the dash. That's great. But was it put on the dash on Sunday, and it's going to be taken off the following Sunday? Is that Bible ever open in between the two times? Sometimes it left here. Maybe you have a Bible at home. That's fine. But I'm hoping that the only time we don't read the Bible is when that text message comes through at 7 o'clock in the morning with the scripture on it. I hope we read our Bible more than that. But like Lot, every one of us must choose the path that we're going to take. We can be bold. I am amazed by our youth group, and I will never stop being their biggest cheerleader. I was not that type of youth. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I'm not like them. I'm grateful for our youth group, and I think we need to encourage them at all times. The things that they are exposed to is unbelievable. I'm so glad the internet wasn't invented when I was growing up. They just readily available on their phones can access anything and everything. We need to be the example for them. And if we're not, we need to get where we need to be, where we can. Are we bold in our faith, or do we just come and play church? I have also been in that role of playing church. Like I said, I grew up in a pastor's home, so I knew what to say, when to say, and how to say it. I also knew how to turn it off when my parents weren't around. We are blessed to have Brother Josh, who grew up in a pastor's home, Brother Kanan, who grew up in a pastor's home, and I grew up in a pastor's home. We know the behind-the-scenes part of church. Sometimes that's scary. Pray for these other two men. Pray for their families. It is hard to be a pastor's kid. It is hard to be a preacher's kid. Pray for them. But pray for all of our youth as well. But I must say, when you get one step away from God's altar, you've already gone too far. But then, that steps just get easier and easier. No, I got away with it this time, I'll do it again. And before you know it, no, you're neck deep in a mess. But when you're one step away from God, you're already out of that fellowship with God. So my first point on that was about Lot going too far. My second point was he stayed too long. In chapter 19, verse 9, it says that Lot was just going to sojourn. So sojourn means that just for a little while, just for a season, not for a long period of time. Naomi and Elimelech, they sojourned in Moab, but in Ruth chapter 1, it says that they were there 10 years. Ruth lost everything. And talking about Moab, Psalm 60, God calls Moab his washpot. So if you don't know what a washpot is, let me tell you about a washpot in biblical days. I don't know if y'all don't realize this or not, but they did not have socks and shoes back then. So they walked around either barefooted or sandals or whatever. Their feet was nasty. It was dirty. Washpot is where they cleaned their feet. That's what Moab was. And see, so Lot was going to sojourn in Sodom. But he was there so long, he became part of their government. And he sat at the city gate. He lost his influence with God. He lost his influence for God. There are people in our life that will tell us something, and because we know them, we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because we just know, you know. That's kind of where Lot was. He lost his power, his influence that God has instilled in his life. His son-in-law's mocking. And the sad thing is that the Bible does not record one instant where Lot changed anybody's life or shared gospel or shared anything about God. So he had a big opportunity to make a change in Sodom. Sodom changed him. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful for your friends. Be careful who you work with. This is not just for teenagers, young adults. Who we hang out at work, who we hang out after work matters. Use your influence. God will take it away if you don't. But the things that you go through, God has placed you in this specific season of your life for a reason. Some of it may be, life may be great for some of y'all and it's all full of rainbows and unicorns. That's great. Some of y'all may be in a mess and just cannot get out of it and cannot see a light of day. God has you in that season for a reason. Honor God in it. Make a difference. Some of the things that we go through in life is solely because there's somebody watching us. And at some point in time, when they go through that same period, they can say, if they get through it, I can get through it. So people are watching. Make sure you honor God. But oftentimes, and I was guilty of this as well, that I would play church on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. We do not have the time to play church. The people in our lives, people that we have influence with, people that we walk through life through every day, cannot just see us playing church. They're going to say, we can play church. We can go through the motions. Going through the motions of church is going to send so many people to hell. Because they will see you and know that you go to church on Sunday, but when you get back to work on Monday, you're cussing like a sailor. Well, if that's how a church member acts, there's no need for me to act any different. Your influence matters. Saying you are a Christian matters. It's not just a word. There are so many celebrities, so many people on TV that throws around the word, I'm a Christian.
You're right.
That they don't even understand what Christian means. There is a difference in what being a Christian is and saying you're a Christian. If you belong to God, he will bring you back. So my third point is Lot came back too late. In Genesis 19, Sodom was destroyed. So you may get away and you may stray, but you will come back to God. Now, will you come back to God heart first at the altar? Or rolling down the pew, rolling down the aisle, feet first in the coffin? Either way, you're coming back to God. So, in 2 Samuel, now I'm going to flip there real quick. 2 Samuel 14. Verse 28 through 30 says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he said against the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. So Absalom could not get Joab's attention. Went twice, Joab ignored him. So to get his attention, he set his fields on fire. God may have to set your fields on fire to get your attention. He is not, God has authority to do so. And the best thing we can always do is when we know we're not in the will of God, we're not where we need to be, is come back to God willingly. Don't let him destroy your life. Don't let him wreck your life to get your attention. Lot went into Sodom full, but he came back empty. In Ruth 1, verse 21, Ruth mentions how I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. He will bring you home. Don't let him bring you back empty. But Lot went into Sodom with much wealth, and he lost it. Much cattle, he lost it. Much health, and he lost it. Had a wife, and lost her. God will get your attention. He came back with a broken home, shamed, and disgraced. Now, I've been doing some walking, and I kind of get the thought of it now that you do some of your best thinking when you're just out there. It's kind of strange how it works, but I guess the distractions are gone. You're just, I don't know. But now I can actually think more instead of actually trying to figure out how to breathe and walk at the same time. So a couple thoughts came to my mind is that God will often increase the struggle and the difficulty that we're going through in order to get our attention. Y'all know anybody stubborn or hard-headed? Right. Y'all looked at y'all spouses there. A few of y'all did. Well, Jonah was one of them. But sometimes, because of our stubbornness and our hard-headed, God will put us flat on our back just to get us to look up. That is not a good place to be. So if you've gone too far, you stay too long, you come back too late, it will cost you more than you're able to pay. Maybe you're the prodigal. Come back home. Maybe you're not living where you need to be. Come back home. There are things that some of y'all are facing that is going to change your life for several years. Bring it to God. He will make things right. He will get you through it. And we often hear stories like Miss Angie mentioned. Other people may hear that story and say, like, that's just, it was a thumbprint on the film or something. No, we serve a mighty God. God can do anything that we ask him to. You got to be willing. You got to be humble. Humble yourself before God. Do not be like Lot. Don't be gone too long away from God, because he will bring you back, and you will not like it. It will mess your life up. We serve a great God, but we serve a jealous God. He is not going to share his attention. He wants you completely. So if you're not where you need to be, get right with God. Make things right. And be the example you need to be. There's too many people who are staring at you and watching you to see how you go through things. And they don't mean that in a bad way. But what I mean by that is how you handle any instance, anything that goes through your life. They will remember how you handled that. Be the example. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's a pressure sometimes, because it is easy to get in the flesh and tell people what you think. But be the example. There's too many people and there's too many lives at stake. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. I know I breezed through my notes pretty quick, Lord God, but I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. I thank you for this church. But Lord, I just ask that if anybody sitting out here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they'll make things right, Lord. And if there's someone that's just not where they need to be in their walk with you, Lord, that they'll come and settle things up, Lord God. protect them, dear Lord, and just give them the courage to say, yes, I've messed up, but God, you can help me with this. Lord, I just ask you to take over this church and just continue to use it in a mighty way, dear Lord God. I ask all these things in your name. Amen.